there's an expression that many, if not all of us, use. It's an expression which speaks about our gathering together as Christians. Probably you used it this morning. Was there any of you, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but just maybe a mental assent, that said to somebody, I'm going to church this morning? Or maybe you asked someone else, are you going to church this morning? Or you even asked later in the day, you may say, did you go to church? We understand that. You see, it's an expression, go to church. It's widely used and it's universally understood, isn't it? We know exactly what we mean when we say that. It's an idiomatic expression. And by that I mean, it typically is used to kind of represent the building. Did you go to church? And we think about the building, but in reality, the church is not this. The church is you. It's those people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those individuals who have given themselves in obedient faith to Jesus Christ, and those people who are living their lives for Him. It's the saved individuals whom, as we find in Acts chapter 2, the Lord has added to His family, to His body. And I hope that we all understand that when we use this term, go to church, that what we're really saying is, I'm going to the assembly, or the assembling of the church, the assembling of the saints together. That's the way it's used, if you remember in the text that Winston read for us just a moment ago, because there we find the writer of that letter, Hebrews, there in chapter 10, talks about our own assembling together. And with all of that, when we think about it, the question I have for you is this. Why do we go to church? Why do we assemble ourselves together? Why do you who are in the twilight of your lives with your various physical difficulties make every effort to get up or to get ready to come and to be here every time these doors are open? Why is it that our young parents with small children come to participate in these services and in worship, knowing that they're probably not going to hear a portion of what's said because they've got a wiggling child right there that they're trying to kind of keep control of? Why is it that you mothers or fathers struggle to get your children ready and to bring them here knowing that you have a spouse that does not support you in what you're trying to do? And why do so many of you sacrifice sleep and time and energy each week in order to come and be a part of Bible study and worship? Why? Have you ever stopped to answer that question for yourself? When we look at God's Word, we find a number of reasons for our own assembling together. If you even go back and look at what Winston read for us just a moment ago, there in Hebrews chapter 10, we see something about what he tells us. And my goal is this morning to try to share some of those reasons with you, though by no means all of them. But if you'll notice there, we are encouraged, he says, we're encouraged not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. So he already, all those years ago, there were those who were not assembling with the saints. They were making choices not to be a part of that assembled body. But then he also said, he encouraged them that they were to do it all the more as they saw the day approaching. So this morning, I hope that when I'm finished, that you will have a better understanding of why we do what we do. Why do we come? Why do we gather as a body of Christians? Why do we sing together and pray together and partake of the Lord's Supper and do all of these things? What is it that we gain from all of this? And I hope that when I'm finished, as I said just a moment ago, that it will inspire you to do this even more often, because you see in it the advantage that it has for you. We assemble together to worship God, to glorify Him. In his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, The Apostle Paul said that it should be our goal to glorify God in all that we do. As a matter of fact, if you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So in everything we do as Christians, we are to be doing it to the glory of God. Part of that is our worship. We glorify God in the process. And that's especially true of this assembling together. If you look in Psalm 29, in the beginning of that psalm, David wrote something. He said, ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. That's impressive. It's what we do. There are some similar words that we sometimes sing ourselves. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. That's what we do. When we come together, we seek to glorify Him. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 3, there's this prayer that Paul prays. And right at the end of the prayer, which ends the chapter, there in verse 31 of Ephesians 3, what Paul says to those Christians, or what Paul says at the end of his prayer, is that he is praying, he says, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul doesn't limit this to our own assembling together, but it is what we do as a church, is it not, when we come together? It is one of the things that we do. We are here today and lifting up our voices, and in everything we do, we are working to glorify Him, to praise Him, because He's worthy of all of our praise and adoration. I think there's another reason, though, that we gather. We assemble ourselves together also to remember and to proclaim our salvation. Every Sunday, every Lord's Day, you and I assemble together to remember and to declare God's saving activity through Jesus Christ. Just a few minutes ago, we partook of the Lord's Supper. And in so doing, we are doing some things that was brought out just a moment ago by Ronnie for us. There are two places in 1 Corinthians. One's in chapter 10. The other is in the passage that Ronnie read for us just a moment ago in chapter 11, in which the Apostle Paul touches on what we're doing when we gather together, when we assemble together in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. If you go back to chapter 10, there in verses 14 through 17, he asks some questions. He says, is not the cup of blessing with which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? And he asks another question, is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And then he says this, since there is one bread, we who are many, that's us, we who are many, all partake of the one bread. When you and I partake of the fruit of the vine, Paul says that what we're doing is we are sharing together in the blood of Christ. When you and I partake of the bread, Paul says that likewise we are sharing together in the body of Christ. And as he goes on to add, just as there is one bread, we are all in that one moment when we partake, reminded that we are one body. We are the body of Christ. And then there's that other passage, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. There again, what does he say? For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And then he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. He says there's three things that we're doing when we gather and assemble in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. You and I are reflecting upon that sacrificial death for our sins all those many years ago. The second thing that you and I are doing is we are remembering the covenant that we have entered into with him, that we are his people, and that because we belong to him, We are to live holy lives. We are to be holy as God is holy. And we are to be servants before Him in this land in which we live all the days of our lives. The third thing that we do is we focus upon His return in glory to take us home to be with Him. We proclaim His death until He comes. That means we recognize He's coming back. And when He comes back, as we've looked at over the last few weeks, He's coming back to take us home to be with Him. Let me give you another reason that we gather together. You and I assemble ourselves together because we find strength in our assembling together. What do I mean by that? We live in a very complicated world, do we not? And it's a world in which we often find ourselves struggling with living righteous lives. We struggle with the sins that continue to ensnare us from time to time. We struggle with worrying about the things over which we have little, if any, control. We struggle with growing older and experiencing the limitations which come with the advancement of age. We struggle with those serious illnesses that may force us to make major changes in our lives. We struggle with things like bereavement and loss because we know that as we get older, we're going to lose loved ones. We're going to encounter death more and more around us. And we struggle with those times when we fail and we disappoint ourselves and others. So why do we gather? Because it's in those times, folks, that we need the spiritual strength that comes not only from our worship with God, but from being around each other and our assembling together and in the process of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we find the strength to withstand in those times, to be strong and to overcome. Have you ever noticed how either your own personal reading of God's Word or hearing God's Word read, oftentimes during a service, there's something about it. If you're listening, there's something that gives you strength, something that meets a specific need that you may have. Stop and think about the 23rd Psalm, what David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he says, "I shall not want." And he goes on to tell us how God is his shepherd and what God does for him. How he leads him beside still waters, how he anoints his head with oil, how his cup overflows, how he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that even if he were to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, "I fear no evil, for you're with me." Or look at something else that David writes over in Psalm 27, two places. First of all, in the very first verse there, he brings this out. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" And then if you drop down to verses 13 and 14, he adds this. "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. I don't know about you, but that gives me strength. Knowing that God is my light, God is my salvation, that if I will take courage in Him, find strength in Him, then I will be able to withstand the things that come my way. Remember, Jesus promised that when we are gathered together in His name, He is going to be among us. He is going to be with us. And when you find yourself weak and discouraged, when you face those decisions that you aren't sure you can make, let me encourage you in those times to find the strength you need in God's presence among His people. Pray to Him. Pray with those that are leading us in prayer. Sing His praises. Listen to His word as it's read, as someone is proclaiming it. be encouraged just by being around your brothers and sisters in Christ and receive strength that only He can provide in those times when you need it the most. But know this, folks, here with God's people is where you find strength to get you through the next week and sometimes just to get you through the next day. So why do we gather? Why do we assemble together? It is also to receive strength, to be strengthened. I'll give you a fourth reason. We come together just to receive instruction. It's easier for this to take place when we're all assembled together in one place. In Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, there's something he says toward the end of that letter down in chapter 4. There in verse 1, he adds this. He says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please Him," and then he inserts this, "just as you actually are doing, or do walk," then he says, "that you excel still more." In our world, we are constantly bombarded with all kinds of different messages. Whether those messages are coming from the major news media outlets or whether those messages are coming through some sort of social media outlet or a number of other sources. And it's easy for us to get confused as, which way do I go? Which way is right? Which way is wrong? What's up? What's down? How am I supposed to live my life? What's black? What's white anymore? And you know, oftentimes you hear this mantra seems to be proclaimed more and more these days. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. There's a problem with that. It's because our heart doesn't always lead us in the right direction. It was Jeremiah the prophet who, in his writings, back in chapter 10, there in verse 23, he says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. It is not in a man or man who walks to direct his steps." He says, if it's left to me, I'm going to mess it up. Can you identify with that? If it's left to me, I'm probably going to mess it up somewhere along the way if somebody's not giving me a little sense of direction. Or let me give you another one. This one comes from the pen of Paul, or actually it's a second thing that Jeremiah says. He says in chapter 17 of his writings, there in verse 9, he says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" In other words, don't trust your heart because it's not always going to lead you in the right direction. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 3. Something that we've heard. He said, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Let me repeat that. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. "With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Folks, reaching the point where the word of Christ richly dwells within us is not something that's going to happen just 1 hour a week. It's not going to happen in just a week's time. It's not something that's going to happen in a month's time. It's something that is going to take years to develop in our lives as we constantly are being fed and nourished by it, little by little, as we take it in and as we build upon each thing that we learn until we finally internalize God's way to live, and it becomes second nature to us. This is what God says I should do. This is how God says I should live. This is the way I am to walk. This is the way I am to treat others in my life. So why don't we come here? We come here so that we can be further instructed by God through His Word as to how we are to live, how we are to please Him. And in that process, there's something else that is happening too, and it's kind of another reason for us assembling ourselves together. And it is the fact that we encourage one another in right living. You don't get that a lot of times out in the world, do you? You don't always find somebody out in the world that you're working with that is going to say, "No, That's not right. You shouldn't do that. You ought to live this way and not that way. It's not always what we hear. I know all the years that I worked as a teenager growing up in different places, whether it was in construction or working with Colonial Bakery for all the years before going finally graduating from Lipscomb and becoming a preacher. I didn't always have people that were saying, don't do that. This is the way you need to live your life. This is what's important. This is the way you need to treat other people. This is the way you need to do this or that. It wasn't what was typically talked about in the workplace. And you know, the truth is, most of us know what is right, but we don't always do it. Not always. And how often have we learned something that is right only to have it kind of slip away from us? When that happens, we find that we are either doing something that God said do not do, or we're not doing something that God told us to do. And you and I go to church. We assemble together so that we can be reminded and exhorted and sometimes even admonished in the way that we should be living and in the things that we should be doing. It's when we gather and sing those great hymns of faith that we are reminded as to how we should live our lives. A hymn that we've sung in the past, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. And then there's the refrain, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Folks, it's when we're together that we can encourage each other. It's a time when we ought to be able to say to one another, how you doing? And not just casual passing, not waiting for an answer, but not just how are you doing physically, but how are you doing in your spiritual life? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is His will becoming that which is more important to you each day of your life? Are you trying to follow the steps of the Savior? You see, when we have someone standing before us sharing God's Word, we're exhorted, sometimes even admonished in the ways that we should live. It's when we talk with each other. Our talk shouldn't just be about what's going on in the sports realm, what our recent recipe was that we just found that we're excited about, but also about our spiritual health and how we're doing. But the last thing that I want to share with you, in one of the reasons that we gather, we assemble together, is to enjoy Christian fellowship. Have you ever sat in front of a fireplace? Or maybe you've had the door open on a wood stove. Or maybe you've set out doors at night around a fire pit or a campfire. And you've just stared at the flame that is burning. And if you notice deep in the flame, there's this ember that's just bright, glowing, orangish red color. What happens if you take that ember, you grab a fork or some kind of tool, and you're able to kind of knock it out off to the side on the ground? What happens to that ember? If you ever get a chance, just watch it. Do it and watch it for a moment. You know what's going to happen. The glow is eventually going to fade until it finally goes out. You see, as long as it's in the fire with the other embers that are burning around it, it's going to stay bright. It's going to continue to burn. But you get it away from the other embers, it eventually dies away, doesn't it? Folks, the same is true of us. As long as we are together, where we're encouraged by people of like mind and like precious faith, our faith can grow and brighten and become all that God wants it to be. But when we take ourselves away from that, and when we constantly are bombarded with the ways of the world and the things that others are saying to us, over time, kind of burns a little less brightly and a little less brightly until finally it just goes out. If you look at the book of Acts, Luke used a couple of expressions to describe the fellowship of the early Christians. One was the word together. He had often talked about they were together. They were together. The other words, actually it's a phrase, they were of one accord. Those two phrases should describe us. We are together. We are of one accord. We are pressing forward together as the body of Christ to accomplish what God wants for us, looking toward that great coming of our Lord and Savior. It's as one of our hymns expresses that we sometimes sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of Christian minds or kindred minds is like to that above." I believe that one of the most inspiring things you'll ever see in this building is to see a father and a mother and their children gathered together in worship. That father and mother leading the way, setting the example so that the children learn and they want to adopt those things in their own lives. I heard, and I'm not going to call names, but last week in here, there was a little boy that said to his parents, "I don't like church." And I understand that. When you're a little boy and you have to sit still for an hour, "I don't like church." But if mom and dad stay with it, continue to encourage, continue to accept the example, there will come a time when that little boy will become a young man. And that young man will begin to understand more of what really this is all about. And there will come a point in time where that young man will decide, "I want to be a Christian. And I want to be a contributor to what goes on in the church." And I think one of the most beautiful things beyond that is to see several generations together. A grandfather and a grandmother and children and grandchildren, or perhaps even great-grandchildren, all gathered together. Folks, that's a beautiful picture. It's the way the church should be. It's what encourages us. And when worship is a regular occurrence and families are drawn together, the generation gap, it's all but erased. This morning, I've tried to give you several reasons as to why we go to church, why we assemble together. But the real question this morning is this: why are you here? Why do you come to this assembly? Why do you assemble with the rest of the saints? Have you come here this morning to glorify God? Are you here this morning to remember the salvation that God has granted you through the blood of His Son, and to continue to do that until He shall return? Is it possible that you have come here this morning because you're looking for some strength? There are some things going on in your life, and you are seeking that strength from your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Maybe you're even looking for some instruction that might help you to answer some questions that you have in your own lives. Are you here to be encouraged in your Christian walk? So I hope that we can help do that for you today. Are you here to be lifted up by the fellowship? If any of these reasons, or all of them, are the reasons you're here today, then I pray that God grant you success, that He will bless your life and help you to grow to become one of those embers that just burns brightly in His service all the days of your life. If you're a person that's here this morning, and maybe you've kind of started distancing yourself from the fire, you've started moving away from others that are brothers and sisters, come back. Once again, let the passion that they have for Christ begin to affect you and help your fire to burn ever brighter, so that your light will be a light that shines in this community and glorifies God. And if you're a person here today who wants to become one of those that God calls His own, you want to become a part of the body of Christ, what our Lord says for you to do is to be willing to believe that Jesus is who He professed Himself to be. He is the Son of God. To be willing to confess that And then to turn from your sins, be buried with him in baptism, so that he might wash those sins away. And then he adds you to his body. We don't do that. We don't vote on anybody here. That's not the way Scripture teaches. It teaches that when you obey, God adds. God adds. And he wants you as a part of his family. He wants you in his kingdom. He wants you to glorify him. And if you want to do that today and haven't been doing that, and we can help you in that response, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.